The verse I chose for this morning is from Philippians 1:21. You can see it up there. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It is Paul's motto. It is his guiding principle. It is his philosophy of life. It is the foundation upon which his life is built and how he lived his life. And it's not just for Paul, the great apostle. This should be the guiding principle of everyone who calls himself a Christian. What does this have to do with baptism? Well, I chose this passage because it is about life and death and resurrection. And baptism is about life and death and resurrection. There is so much meat in this one verse that you could read a spiritual book of 1,000 pages and not get 1 ounce of insight compared to what we have in the single verse of God's word. So let me break it up into 5 parts. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The first part, for me. There are two different kinds of baptism, or there are different kinds of baptisms. Sometimes thousands of people came to be baptized in one setting, as in Acts 2:41. Sometimes we read a whole family being baptized together. But then we read in Acts 8:38, the story of a single man, an Ethiopian eunuch. He alone got baptized. There's something special about reading about the one person who does something significant without the whole group. We are all easily influenced by others, and often we will not do what is right till others do it. But then there are those who say, if Christ be Christ, then that is all I need to know. Where do I sign up? Whatever others choose to do, as for me, I will live for Christ. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's refreshing to find people who think for themselves. It's great when your friends come along and encourage you, but at the end of the day, this really needs to be a personal commitment for you. The road to destruction is broad, but the road to life is narrow, one at a time. Can you say, for me to live is Christ? Let me emphasize the words, to live. If you are born again, it means that you have the life of God in you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. The Spirit is life. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. This is not just religious life or philosophical life. This is true spiritual life. There's been a number of movies made about Christian people. What the secular filmmakers do is they try to retell the story of these heroic lives by focusing on external actions and events in these people, in these persons' lives, but severing or removing the driving force for why these people lived as they did, why they endured what they did, how they accomplished what they did. Paul is clear that to live as Christ means that he can only live by Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is not just about imitation, it is Christ in me, working in me. He is the source of my strength, the source of my wisdom, the source of my inspiration and transformation into his likeness. A Christian does not just believe certain doctrines, he also lives for Christ. Christ is not my pastime, it's not what I do on Sunday, he is my life. My values are different from the world, my priorities are different than the world, my beliefs are different from the world, my destiny is different from the world. And you don't want to know why I think it is oh so right to live for Jesus? Because he lived for me. He gave himself for me. He died for me. Yes, I will live for him now. Prior to becoming a Christian, Paul was zealous for his then faith or his religion, but he was wrong. Yet he lived by this principle: if you believe something is true, then be all in. Paul has a lot more in common with people who are full of error but are all in than fellow Christians that share the same doctrines but are not all in. If he is the Lord, then be all in. This is one of the pictures of baptism by immersion, is it not? The whole body goes under the water. All of you comes up. But is it an all or nothing ordinance? I am all in, Lord. We all want to keep some part of us out of the water. We all want to keep something out of the water. We all want to keep some sin to ourselves. We want to hang on to something that we think we need to make us happy and whole. But if you are to be a disciple of Jesus and immersed in the waters of baptism, then let him bury everything that is a part of the old you. Don't hang on to old grievances. Forgive all. Forgive everybody. Don't hang on to secret sins. Repent of them all. Don't hang on to secret ambitions. Give it all to Jesus. I tell you, there are no regrets when you live for Jesus. Do you want to look back at your life without regrets? Then live for Jesus now and be all in. Part 3. Is Christ. If you're going to live for Jesus, you have to know Jesus. You can't know him unless you know his word. I am glad to hear that Julie is going to Miller Bible School this year for a year. That is commendable. The Great Commission says, baptize them and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. You cannot live for Jesus and not know Jesus' word. Make it your goal to read it, to study it, to pray over it, and aim to know Jesus better. I want to be his disciple. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Some will only speak of the generic title God. It's not wrong, of course, but speak often of Jesus. From now on, may your life story and the story of Christ be one. Be it so that you will not be able to tell anyone about yourself without telling them about Christ. He is my best friend, my wisest counselor, my surest guide, my loving Savior, my King and my Lord. Make this your life verse. Do not hide your testimony under a bushel. Let it be known early on in your friendships and relationships that your life is about Christ, that you intend to do all that he wants you to do, to be all he wants you to be, to marry only the person he has chosen for you, or to remain joyful if he has singleness for you. His plan is the best plan for your life. He is worthy. Make the life of Jesus beautiful and attractive through your testimony. What a word of praise to hear someone say, because of you, I love Jesus more. Or I see Jesus more clearly now because I've seen him in your life. Now the second part, to die is gain. There are a number of different meanings of the word to die. The day Adam sinned, he died spiritually, but not physically. The physical death would come later, but spiritual death happened immediately. Physical death takes place when the soul separates from the body. There is another way to speak of dying in Scripture, and that is to die to the old man, the unregenerate flesh, the sin principle at work in us that just does not want to submit to Christ. Die to it. Paul says in Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Practice dying to self. Die to anger. wrath, malice, backbiting, hatred, jealousy, murmuring, lying, and the like. This practice of dying to self should be front and center of the Christian's life. But dying to self is only one side. Colossians 3:1 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Put on a new man. Be like Jesus." It was said of St. Augustine that he was one of the most converted of all men. He was thoroughly converted. For him to live was Christ. Be thoroughly converted to Christ. So the first step in getting baptized is realizing that we have sinned, that we have failed God, that our tongues, minds, and hearts are unclean. But we do not wallow in our uncleanness. We then confess that we cannot clean ourselves before God. But then we turn to Christ, who cleanses us of all our unrighteousness. And he does that by his blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The waters of baptism proclaim my faith that Christ alone can wash me clean. And finally, why is it gain? Why is death gain for someone who has lived for Christ? Because it is the fulfillment of his life. If you live for wealth, death is not gain, for you lose what you've been living for. If you live this life for material things, then die cannot be gain, because you're going to lose all of that. If you live for physical beauty, death will take care of that. It's going to take it all away from you. And I could add 1,000 other things to this list and say about each one that death will not be gain for you. But if you live for Christ, then death will be gain. For you, you will receive the fulfillment of your life. Christian baptism by immersion paints for us an awe-inspiring picture, and it points us to a God-sized miracle. This is one of the most amazing miracles in the Bible. So imagine we were gathered for a funeral here today, and let's say there was a casket before us, and all of a sudden, the dead person opens the casket and gets out. What would happen? Well, some of you would faint, I'm sure. Some would scream and run out of here. The young people probably whip out your iPhone, take pictures, post it on Facebook. Pentecostals would turn to their Baptist friends and say, "I told you, miracles do happen today." And perhaps the remainder would stay and praise God. Friends, baptism confronts us with a fact and a promise. One day, Satan or death will say to each one of us, "Come down here." And yet there is a promise, just as Christ said, "Lazarus, come out." And he did so. So Jesus will say to each one of us who believes in him, "Death may take you down, but I will take you up. I will say, arise, come up here, and live with me forever." Never separate these two halves of this verse. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Never say death is gain, even if living is not Christ. For that is a lie. Baptism is designed not only so the person getting baptized can make a public commitment to Christ, but through this rite of baptism, Christ today also proclaims his commitment to you. It is he who reminds us this day that nothing and no one will ever separate you from his love. Jesus also said, "He who confesses me before men, so I too will confess them before the Father. Nobody outdoes Jesus. He who honors Christ will be honored by Christ. Amen.